Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any edged sword, piercing even to the dividing and asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joint and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. One day when I was one of the associate pastors at First Baptist Church of Westwood Lakes in Miami, Pastor Marvin Gogenauer would always stand at the door like Pastor Lane does when people would leave. As I was going out the door one Sunday morning, Pastor said to me, "Well, Wayne, are you ready for tonight?" My first inclinations would say, "Ready for what?" But I knew what he meant. What he had failed to understand was that he had forgotten to tell me that I was scheduled to preach on Sunday night. But I said to him, "Not a problem." And I went home and I spent the rest of Sunday afternoon working on the message that I was going to preach Sunday night. Now, Pastor didn't do that to me for tonight. He gave me 4 days. So I knew about this one 4 days ago. And what's interesting about that is this. When Margaret and I travel, she commands the car radio. Now, I think she's afraid that I will get distracted playing with the radio, so I am not allowed to touch the radio when we travel. But she always finds suit that she finds a station where there's somebody preaching. Now, you probably, I don't know if you do that or not, but we do. I've listened to a lot of messages traveling down the highway. You know, the problem with that is, because I don't have one of those satellite-controlled super radios that can pick up a radio station in Taiwan or somewhere else in the world, I have to rely on what is close by. One such trip, a fellow started preaching on the subject of what the Bible can do for you. And I got to hear his introduction, and that's as much of it as I heard, because we went out of distance from that station. But that kept running through my mind. So a couple, 3 weeks ago, I started going through the scriptures. So I did not hear his message. So I cannot be plagiarizing his message. I'm only going to plagiarize his title a little bit. What I'm going to do is say, my title is Seven Things the Bible Does in Your Life. Seven Things the Bible Does in Your Life. This quick and powerful book that we have, this book that can cut away all of our pretenses and all of our nonsense in our lives and get down to the heart and the nitty-gritty of the matter. This is the book that God gave us. Now, theologically speaking, God gave us this book so we could know Him and we could know His commandments and we could know what He wanted us to do with our lives and so we would know about Jesus. This is an amazing book and it does a lot of marvelous things in your life. And I'm just going to share briefly seven things the Bible can do in your life. First one is this. The Word of God builds faith in your heart, which converts the soul. In short, the Bible converts a sinner to a saint. The Bible converts your heart from an unbeliever to a believer. Listen to what it says. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting verse 14 and 15, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto" what? "Salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus." Again, Psalms 19 and verse 7, a verse that you should be familiar with. Pastor preached the whole series of messages on Psalms 19. And verse 7 says this, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple." Romans 10:17 says, "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and what? Hearing by the word of God." Without the word of God, a person's faith is not gendered and not strengthened and not improved. And we'll get back to that, but you hear the word of God and it gives you faith. I got asked a while back why I post so many Bible verses on Facebook. I answered it by posting a Bible verse. This one, "For faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God." And by the way, I post more verses now than I used to. What I'm really glad for is a number of my friends have taken up the habit of doing the same thing. There are days when I open my Facebook page and I'll have 5 or 6 verses in a row written, you know, on my wall, posted by my friends. I'm looking for the day of when I open up my Facebook page on my wall and I see 30 or 40 verses or more, because it's the word of God which brings faith to the heart of a person. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 and 26. This is a familiar verse to all of you, especially probably some of your wives have heard this a lot, but husbands have also heard this more than once. "Husbands, love your wives." Notice it's plural for husbands, and so it's plural for wives. "Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word." A person's heart gets washed and cleaned by the word of God. James 1:21. "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and super flattery of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul." If there is one theme that you are guaranteed of in Scripture, is the importance of the Scriptures in the winning of a person to Christ. You know, when Paul said to the church, "I did not come to you using the wisdom of people, I came to you in the power of the word." Now, I'm going to make a statement here, and I just want you to please understand it, that I've just read enough verses to prove what I believe is true. Without the application of the word of God, the Bible, it is impossible for a person to come to the knowledge of Christ's faith unto salvation. You know, you can argue with a person all you want out of your human wisdom, and you'll not convert a soul to Christ doing that. Until you begin to share with them the Scriptures. What did Paul tell young Timothy? That the Scriptures were able to make him wise unto salvation. You have to apply the Word of God to a person's heart for them to be able to understand, and the Holy Spirit be able to bring conviction to their soul. All of the arguments in the world about why a person ought to get saved outside of the use of Scripture is an exercise of utility. Number one, the Word of God builds a faith in the heart which converts a soul. What an amazing thing. Did you know there's no other book in the world that can make that claim? You know why? There's no other book in the world that is empowered by the Holy Spirit to do that work. Number two, the Word of God gives us wisdom. I already read it to you, but I will read it again. Psalms 19:7. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure." Doing what? Making wise the simple. You need wisdom? Immerse yourself in the Word of God. But in case you say, "Yeah, but that's just one verse, Brother Jeffries." All right. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do them in the land whether you go to profess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear of all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. And where did they get that wisdom that the world notices? From the Word of God. Psalms 119. You might want to turn there and follow this one. Psalms 119, 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. How many of you have heard the illustration of a cow chewing its cud, and it swallows it, brings it back up, and chews it some more? That's what meditation is. Meditation is looking at a verse, thinking about a verse, mulling that verse over in your mind all day, fitting that verse into your life and working it through, and it becomes integrating it into who you are. That's meditation. And by the way, the word musing is the same Hebrew word as meditation. Because David said, while I mused by the fire, my heart burned within me. What was he musing on? The Word of God. Oh, how love I thy law is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments have made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all of my teachers. I used to jokingly tell my students, you want to be smarter than me? Spend as much time in the Bible as I do and more. Why? Because the Bible says I have more understanding than my teachers. I want to be smarter than my teachers? Learn the Word of God. For thy testimonies are my meditation. There's that word again. I understand more than the ancients, because I have kept thy precepts. I have refrained my foot from every evil way, that I might keep thy word, that I have not departed from thy judgments. For thou hast taught me, and how sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than a honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Want to be wise? Spend time in the Word of God. Filter it down through your system. Let it become part of your thought processes. Wisdom comes with the Word of God. As a matter of fact, it'll make you smarter than your teachers. It'll make you wiser than your enemies. It will make you have more understanding than the ancients. How many of you have commentaries? How many of you have Matthew Henry's commentary? Do you know what that is? That's the ancients. Matthew Henry quotes a lot of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd century theologians in his commentary. You're getting the wisdom of the ancients when you read such commentaries as Matthew Henry. Want to be wiser than them? Immerse yourself in the Word of God. Number three, the Word of God will keep you from sin. You may figure out that I like 119th Psalm because it's all about the Word of God. 119 verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. If you went to a Christian school, or your kids have gone to a Christian school and they say the pledge to the Christian flag every day, they quote this verse every day. Psalms 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The word of God is the water that washes the soul. And cleanses you from sin. And keeps you from sin. Verse 101, Psalms 119. I refrain my foot from every way that I might keep thy judgments. Romans chapter 7, and starting in verse 7, read through verse 11 if you want to follow in your Bible. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I have not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. But in sin, taking occasion by the commandments, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandments came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandments which were ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taken occasion by the commandments, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandments holy, and just and good. You know what Paul was saying here? People lived their life merrily on their way until God gave the commandments and the law. What did that do for them? It brought them to a knowledge of sin. It also brought them the knowledge that God does not like sin. God hates sin. God is too pure to look upon sin. And because we now knew that there were things that God considered sin, we, in our spiritual self, died. Figuratively speaking, of course. The Word of God not only gives us the knowledge of sin, it gives us the remedy for sin. When we infuse the Word of God into our lives, we then give the Holy Spirit the weapons He needs in our lives to convict us of sin or to show us that we're about to do something you shouldn't do because it's wrong. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever found yourself getting ready to do something and you felt really uneasy about doing it? And all of a sudden, a Bible verse that you had read and learned and come floating through your mind, you think that's an accident? See, that's what the Holy Spirit does when we put the Word of God in our lives. Even at the point where we're about to do something that's wrong, the Holy Spirit reminds us by bringing back to our memory the Word of God about that particular thing. You know, I've been challenged over the years over a number of things. And one of them says, show me one verse in the Bible that says, thou shalt not smoke a cigarette. I said, how about your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and He doesn't like coughing? What does that mean? The Bible says that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you can't take the Holy Spirit in places where God would not go. You cannot do things with the Holy Spirit in your life that God would not do. Because if you do, He's going to make you feel really bad. And if you don't quit doing it, He's going to do a whole lot more worse than that. He's going to chastise you. Number four, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. Every parent in here should have memorized this verse ages ago. If you haven't, it's still not too late. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them on for a sign upon thy hand, and thy shall be a fortlet between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and upon thy gate. How many of you have Bible verses hanging on your walls in your house? Did you know that's scripture? Do you know that's scriptural to do that? Why? That's so your kids and everybody comes in the house can see it. We got Bible verses, I think, in just about every room hanging on the wall. That's scriptural. Did you know that it is not the function of a school teacher to teach your children? It's your responsibility. It's parents' responsibility. And by the way, it's not really the function of the church to train up your children. That is your responsibility. And we have this verse, we all love it, and we all memorized it, and we all hang on to it. When we're working with our children, train up your children in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. There's a little section in there, train up a child in the way they should go. There's a possibility that that verse translates out the way he should go, or according to his bent. You know what that means? We have three children. According to the bent, all three of our children have different personalities. They learn different. Our baby is a straight-A student in school. My other two had to struggle somewhat, and they made it through. But you know what? They had to learn different ways. And that's what, train up a child and teach him the way he can learn it. But here's the thing that scares me about all this. One of the speakers at the convention made a statement in his session he was doing, and he said this: a child's worldview is set by the age of 13. Let me say that again. A child's worldview is set by the time he's 13 years old. You realize that's about the age of an eighth grader. So who's got to set this kid's worldview? The family. Number five, the Word of God gives us a rejoicing and worshiping heart. Now this is going to be my shortest point. Psalms 19, verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right. Doing what? Rejoicing the heart. Verse 14. Let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What are the words that God likes to hear? One other thing about my youngest child, Maria, was that she could climb up on my lap and she'd say, Daddy, I love you. Can I have? Now, how do you say no to this little sparkling blue-eyed, big wide smile cherub sitting on your lap? Daddy, I love you. How do you say no to that? You know God likes to hear his children worship and praise him and tell him that they love him. And did you know the Word of God builds that into you, especially if you spend some time reading Psalm 119. You get through wanting to worship God all over the place. The Word of God gives you a worshiping heart. Number six, the Word of God will comfort us during the hard times, even death. Because of the ministry that God has given me over the years, I have learned to pray a lot. Lord, put your comforting arms around them and hold them up in this time of loss, or this time of tragedy, this time of ill health, you name it. Psalms 23, verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff does what? Comforts me. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17. The ending of an amazing set of verses that everybody knows. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be. And how does he close out that wonderful chapter about the rapture of the church? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It may get bad, and it may get worse than bad. But guess what? We're not going to be here. We can comfort ourselves in the fact that what's happening for us is temporary. Not going to last forever. It's only going to be for a little while. Psalms again, 119, verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for the word hath quickened me. You ever been going through a really hard time and you sit down with your Bible and your heart is breaking or you're wondering what's going on? And you just seem to open the scripture to the right place. Isn't the Holy Spirit marvelous in the way he does that? And you read that verse and, man, there's grace falling all over you. and the comfort of the Lord is there, and your heart is not nearly as burdened and heartache as it was, because the Word of God comforts me in my affliction. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 16 and 17. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which have loved us and have given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your heart and establish you in every good word and work. The Word of God brings comfort to your heart. And I close my last point. It sanctifies you. The Word of God sanctifies you. Sanctification is a process, not an act. It takes a long time for some of us to get sanctified. But the more of the Word of God you have in, the quicker that process runs. It is a process of conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ.